It's not always the right thing to just stick it out. Actually, I just put an article out in my column that talks about the fact that you're not obligated. We society makes us feel like you have to deal with somebody, or you have to stay in this job, or you have to, you don't have to do anything. Now, that's not to absolve you of making poor decisions, but at the same time, if you have done the assessment, if you've done the analysis, if you've evaluated it and you've got some sort of plan, and you can have some foresight, and you say, you know what, this is not it, that's okay. It's not it. Pivot.
Welcome to another episode of the Blemished Beauty Podcast. This podcast was designed with you in mind. If you're ready to erase the norm and embrace the truth, come pull up a chair, grab a journal, and tell a friend that your favorite Jersey girl is back with another episode. So let's get into it.
Hey, y'all, and welcome to another episode of the Blemished Beauty Podcast with your favorite Jersey girl, Cher Renee. And in today's episode, I have the pleasure of sitting down with Langley Shazer. And Langley is a man of many hats. He is an author, a poet, a pastor, a life coach, and a public speaking coach. He has several books that can be found on Amazon, and you can always find him on Facebook putting out positive pivot messages on Saturdays. Now, in this episode, we sit down to discuss the importance of changing the narrative and how he managed to shift into accepting God's plan over his life. This episode is entitled Changing the Narratives. Hope you enjoy. Hey, Langley.
Hey, listen, hold on. Before we even get started, you and Nikki have like the dopest intro stuff going on, like all of your transitions. Like I'm sitting here like, wow, I don't have none of that.
Well, you know she's big sis, right? So you know,
oh my god,
big sis gotta do it. Then I was like, okay, I can't be slacking, because you know, you gotta be on all the Nicki Nicole level. You gotta do some work. You gotta be sweating and tearing over here to
I'm over here like,
as I'm trying to tell you, people be coming from the ceiling. It's just
kind of stuff going on.
Exactly. So I try. I ain't on all the Nicki Nicole status, but I try to make it nice and pretty.
Yeah, I appreciate it. That was super cool. I was sitting here like, man, I should have screen recorded this whole intro. Like, that was killer.
I'll send you the link. I'll put it on camera. I'll send it to you so you can keep it
sweet,
for yourself.
Sweet.
So how are you doing, Langley? Tell the people who you are.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you for having me. I know we've been trying to have this for some time now, and it's good that the stars align and that we have the opportunity to sit down first and foremost. So I appreciate you. And we've been on a lot of other platforms, but I've never had a chance to sit down with you on yours. So this is a great opportunity. Langley, casual word Shazer, I'm the wearer of many hats. Some of them sideways, like this one here. I do a multitude of things. I work full time as a project manager for the government here. Here being the Virgin Islands, ladies and gentlemen. And outside of that, public speaking coach, author, poet, philanthropist, public speaking advisor, consultant. I teach firearms safety. I teach forklift training. Like it, the list just keeps going. So I do a lot of different things, but all of it is focused on giving back to the community and empowering other people.
So when you were growing up, did you have any desire to do any of the stuff that you do now? Like what did you want to be when you grew up?
I was going to play pro football, and I know that that may sound like something that a lot of people say, but obviously it's the 90s. There's not a whole lot of film still, but I was recruited by every D1 school in the nation after my freshman year of high school to come play football, and some was willing to run track and do multiple sports. So that was where I was focused, and that's what I trained for. All year round, it was about making sure that I was at that level. And could perform. And then I had a horrific injury on the field my sophomore year. And again, in the 90s, medicine wasn't what it is today. So there was no coming back. You know, I blew my knee completely out, and football was out. And that changed a lot of things for me. I struggled after that with school. I struggled socially. I graduated, but, you know, and some good things happened. You know, I ended up going to school, college on a choir scholarship of all things, full ride to East Tennessee State University. But I'll be transparent, I dropped out. At the time, not only was I not mature enough, but I also didn't enjoy music. It wasn't fun when I got to college.
Right.
It was work. And it's not that I was averse to work, but it took all the joy out of singing. I decided that I'd rather pay for the education that I wanted than have a miserable experience for free.
Wow. I love that. I love that you said that, because that kind of segues into what we were talking about, because you had this plan and it didn't go right. Well, it didn't go as you planned. And then now, in hindsight, that you know, fast forwarding to where you are now, you are accomplished in doing all of these things. So, you know, that's key for people to really resonate with and sit with, that even though you have a plan for your life, one, it might not go as you plan, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you'll have a miserable life later on. You know, it can still have the capacity to be full in a way, maybe not how you envisioned it, but in a way that is still good or make you feel full and whole. Like, I'm pretty sure you would have felt if you did play football, you probably would have been happy and satisfied, but now you are fulfilled. So it is kind of different, and learning how to ride the waves when life kind of shifts and pivots is a lot of, is something that we don't have kind of a blueprint for. We don't have those examples. You know, the old school generation, they would just tell you to stick it out, but they wouldn't give you like the A to Z of how to do that or what that looked like. They never told us what they endured to get where they are. They just said that, like, for example, when you're married, the older generation, they've been married 40, 50 years. They will never tell you what they endured to get to that 40, 50 years. They just said divorce was not an option. But what did you go through? Because sometimes people need to know, what did you go through to know, okay, is this a deal breaker or is this something that we can come and communicate and fix? And I love that you said that, because you kind of give people a blueprint of, okay, well, if this doesn't work out for me, that doesn't mean that something is not waiting for me in the wings later on, right? Did you have any mentors, like, during that time when you didn't get this, when you didn't do football and you had to realize, okay, now I need to pivot into another direction? Did you have mentors, like male mentors, to kind of help you go through that?
No, I really went through that. I don't want to say alone is not the correct term. However, I wasn't connected to people that would help me understand how to navigate that situation and navigate those emotions. So a lot of that was learned on the fly through trial and error, through a lot of failed relationships, failed friendships. And I'll be honest, you know, I was a hooligan. When I got out of high school, I was a hooligan, 100%. You know, I fought all the time. I was in the club all the time and, you know, doing all those kind of things all the time. And, you know, I had a good head on my shoulders. My parents raised me well. And I had this innate talent or ability to be someone that people like to talk to. And I never tried to steer anybody the wrong way. But I also wasn't interested in being a mentor either. You know, I just wanted to live my life and do my own thing. And so you talked about the blueprint. You know, that blueprint didn't exist. And one of the things that we as Black people don't talk about is what the options look like. To your point, you were talking about how the older generation, they just stuck it out, but that didn't always equate to a happy life. It didn't equate to a happy relationship. You know, there's a lot of traumatized people, my age, your age, who witnessed a lot of terrible things. So this whole idea of, you know, you just got to stick it out, that's not an option. Well, perhaps it should have been, because there's a lot of other collateral damage now, and some of it, you can't ever be prepared.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, sometimes, and this is going to sound a little counterintuitive, but sometimes I think that's a selfish way to look at things, right? Like, oh no, you know, we're always going to be in this thing and you guys are not healthy. You're not working together. You're not helping each other. And you have other people involved, children and the like, you know, you're not really thinking about them. Because you're not looking at the emotional impact. You're not looking at the psychological impact. You're just looking at, well, we had both parents in the home. Yeah, but both parents were crazy. So now you got, you know, now you got a trickle down effect of a whole bunch of people who don't know how to be in good relationships because they feel like you just got to get with somebody and deal with them.
Right.
Right. Not make the right choices. So I think that that was, and I understand that times were different. I understand that life was different for them. And so that was a, there was a need for security. And that is what held a lot of people together, right? Was the safety and the security because of the time and the era that they grew up in. So you needed that, that family and that kind of nucleic blend of individuals to keep everybody safe. But again, a lot of irreparable damage was done internally on inside with that. So, you know, it's not always the right thing to just stick it out. Actually, I just put an article out in my column that talks about the fact that you're not obligated. You know, society makes us feel like you have to deal with somebody or you have to stay in this job or you have to, you don't have to do anything. Now, that's not to absolve you of making poor decisions, but at the same time, if you have done the assessment, if you've done the analysis, if you've evaluated it and you've got some sort of plan and you can have some foresight and you say, you know what, this is not it, that's okay. It's not it. Pivot. You know?
Yeah.
And one of the things that I do want to mention, we talked about the planning, is I would be remiss if I didn't say that I'm a testament to God's plan being better than your own plan. Because looking back on my life and looking back through at that age, so had I gone to the NFL, and I look at all the decisions that I made when I would have been playing in terms of that age, I don't know that I would have been a quality individual. I think about that a lot. And I think that that was, obviously it was by design, but I think it was also by design because God's plan for me was greater than what I could see, knowing that if I were to have that kind of money, have that kind of affluence, have that kind of prestige, have that kind of notoriety, I probably would have abused it. To be frank, for quite honest, right? I would have abused all of that. And so I believe fully now, hindsight being 2020 and being able to adjust with the person that I am today, I believe fully that that was part of God's plan because he knew that what he needed me to do could not have happened had I gone in that direction.
Yeah, so. I love that. I love that you said that because that's all too, it goes under the umbrella of knowing who you are and whose you are. So when you get that revelation, it's easier for you to come to grips with, you know, this was God's plan for me as opposed to my plans. Because a lot of the times what we want, you know, that's from the tangible things. You probably wanted to be a football player because they make a lot of money or, you know, they're going to have a big house or whatever the case. But we are all here for a reason. We are all here for an assignment. And that's what this season is about. It's about making sure that everybody, before they do their vision boards, before they set their resolutions, that they are making the right decisions on why they are setting these goals. Like you want, like you said, with the job and this, that, and the third, why do you want this new job? Why do you want this car? Is it because you want to keep up with what's on Instagram? You want to keep up with the Joneses? Or is it because you know this is better for your family? Or you know this will help you do some type of missionary work or, you know, something to help you volunteer or whatever the case may be. So it's important that, you know, we get to a place where we know better so we can do better and we can show up into these spaces better people because there are a lot of people that don't have good role models and just being good individuals just in general. So I really want to change the narrative on why we do what we do and really get people to start thinking about the real truth behind why they want what they want and all those things. And for men specifically, you guys being the head of the household, you know, you have a heavy weight that lays on you, you know, to be the provider and all these things. But a lot of you don't have or didn't have those role models or people to kind of help guide you along the way, or when you get frustrated, have safe spaces for you to talk to, like other men groups. Like women, we talk all the time, but as very rarely do you see men that have these support groups where if they're going through something, they can call their brother who is a level-headed man and they can talk to him or whatever. So this episode is definitely for that particular person that doesn't have that, that's trying to juggle everything, that's trying to balance everything. How do you balance the different roles and responsibilities that you have?
That's a great, tremendous question. Before I answer that, I do want to mention something that you talked about with it came to your motivations behind what it is that you're doing. I want to make sure that people understand that I grew up in the Bible Belt thinking that piety and poverty were synonymous. What I mean by that is I grew up thinking that you couldn't have nice things and serve God. And that's simply not the case. So I need everybody to understand that no one's advocating you being poor or impoverished. But what we're saying is make sure that's not the prime motivator of what it is that you're trying to accomplish, right? Because if you look at the Bible, there's tons of examples. David, Solomon, Job, Abraham were all wealthy, extremely wealthy. Okay, so it was never about not having things. And that's a very human way to look at it. And there's a whole history behind that, excuse me. But I just want to make sure everybody understands that when we talk about your motivations, we talk about making adjustments, we're not talking about selling all your stuff and living in a sackcloth in a cardboard box. No one's saying that.
Right.
That's not a reality, and that's not going to make you have your high quality of life. But you can have all those things and still be a good servant leader. You can still be a good head of a household. You can still be a good brother and friend. You can still be a good parent and role model. So I just want to make sure everybody understands that, because I think that message gets skewed a lot when we talk about these things, when we talk about the material side of life, and when we have the theological conversation. You know, everybody immediately thinks that, oh, you mean I can't have my Maserati? Absolutely, you can have a Maserati. Drive your Maserati to your mansion. Just make sure you're doing some good work too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you asked me about balance. Balance took me a long time to figure out. A, because I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I wanted to do. Of course, there were some inklings there, right? There was some, I don't want to say glimmers of hope, but there were some small hints that I was called to a greater purpose. And I didn't know what to do with a lot of that information. I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing. So, you know, the balance came after a lot of trial and error, a lot of making really bad decisions and making the choice to not do those again. You mentioned the men's group. That was something that was pivotal as I got older to understand and to have was guys who will make sure that I'm not just that I'm okay, but also hold me accountable. And that's one of the areas where you can quickly strike balance, holding yourself accountable. You know you should have done better. You know you could have made a better choice. You know you shouldn't have done X, Y, and Z. And the awareness is half the equation. Now you have to make the adjustment and not do it again, right? So there's self-accountability there. But then having people who will hold you accountable and not just go along with you or co-sign on foolishness. Now that's an area, and I don't want to get into this whole gender debate, but one thing that I see a lot when we see those conversations unfold on social media is that you got a lot of women who are just supporting crap because, oh, it's a woman. I got to stand by my sister, but your sister's messing up. She's not doing right. She's not treating somebody right. You know, she out here doing dirt. You're just going to stand by. Same thing for men, too. You know, if you know, one of the things that as I got older and got serious about my reputation and my posture and who I wanted to be was I was not going to allow that. I'll give you a prime example. Good friend of mine at the time had a guy come over. You know, we didn't become super good friends, but, you know, we were acquaintances. One day he comes to my house to hang out and he has a woman with him who's not his wife. And I made him get in the car and go home. I mean, I don't know where he went, but I was like, I know that's not your wife. drive by my house know you're that's not your wife, you're not in my house with this other woman, because they're going to think I can that kind of behavior. So those are the kind of things you have to be serious about if you're going to move a certain way and you build a certain circle. You got to be willing to do those kind of things. You need guys who will do the same thing. Like, I see some posts in some dad groups on Facebook, and they post often about the fact that, you can't hang out with me because you don't take care of your kids. We talk about standing on business, right? That's always a really good quote and a buzzword. But standing on business should also mean that you don't stand for things that you know are wrong. I don't care if it's your friends. I don't care if it's your family members. If you see somebody who's doing something they shouldn't be doing, you call them out. And this is a thing that some talk about. This. If you're a friend of mine, to tell you, I have a responsibility to try and correct you. I have a responsibility to address it in love. But then I also have a responsibility to myself to change the dynamic if I see that you're not going to make the effort. So if I check you, so to speak, and you don't make a change, and I may try and do it again, let's reiterate the fact that, this isn't cool, you can't be doing this. You know, after two times, and this, ladies and gentlemen, this is just me. It's just me, but I'm making a point about the level of accountability that we have to have if we're going to get better as a society. If I check you twice on the same type of behavior and I see you're not making an effort to change it, we're done. You can't rock with me. I'm not hanging out with you. Because not only is my reputation at stake, but my blessings are at stake. That's something people don't want to talk about. Sometimes you're not getting blessed because you connect to the wrong people. Sometimes you're not getting blessed because you're still riding the fence. You're not getting blessed. You're the things that you want to see happen aren't happening because you're still pretending like you actually want to be a good person. But in reality, you just want to be selfish and have whatever a blessing looks like. So let's just be honest about what that is. A lot of the guys want to talk about being a good man, but don't want to do the things to become one. And that's a lot of the problem. It takes work, and the work is uncomfortable. The work is hard. The work requires you to separate from your homeboys. The work requires you to get away from lifelong friends. The work requires you to get serious about who you are. And when you look in the mirror, do you like the person that you are? It also gets serious about understanding that you may like the person that you are, but let's take accountability and let's take inventory of who that person is. You see, that's something else nobody wants to talk about. You want to say, I like who I am, but what do you do? Mm-hmm. And if you like the things that you do, you need to reevaluate what kind of person you're trying to be. And right. It's cool. Like, my thing is, if you want to be a dirtball, be a dirtball, dude, but don't pretend to be a good guy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like don't cover it up, because now you're just being a manipulator. If you want to be a dirtbag, just be an honest dirtbag. You know what? I'm a dirtbag. I'm out here for myself. I'm just trying to be me. You know what? I respect that. We can't hang, but I can respect that. But don't get out here and pretend like you're trying to be a better person and you're trying to make all these changes, when in reality, you're just trying to sound good. You got a lot of people talking with no action.
Yeah.
So when we talk about finding a balance, the first thing you have to do is take this walk of introspection, because some of you are unbalanced. Some of us get unbalanced because we don't want to change.
Yeah.
Right. The balance won't begin to even take shape until you start taking the role in your own life seriously. You know, a lot of people are always pointing. I have a saying that everyone wants to look out the window, no one wants to look in the mirror. And what happens is that people always want to point at somebody else. But you know what? In every situation you've ever found yourself in, you have some sort of role in what has transpired. All your anguish, all of your misery. You know, I know there are some extenuating circumstances. So before everybody gets on here and talks about things that are beyond your control, okay, I get those things happen sometimes. But as an adult, especially, go ahead, deconstruct it. And I bet you'll find where there was a choice you could have made different, a person you shouldn't have been around, something that you knew somewhere you knew you shouldn't have been that you went to anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a hard life.
Yeah.
It's harder to get straight and it's harder to get right, and it's harder to get realigned than it is to stay off course.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why the enemy loves to keep us off course, because, you know, he can bless us too, right? I mean, the devil can bless us with, you know, all the material wealth and all these things, as long as we're doing whatever terrible things that we're doing. But when you make that transition into trying to be a better person, a better man, especially, there's a lot of things that come with that men don't particularly want to have to deal with. Being open and vulnerable is a big one. And that's because we inherently, to your point earlier, haven't had a chance to do that. We've never had a space. We've never had the type of camaraderie and selflessness amongst each other that allows for that to take place. But you're seeing a shift. You're seeing a major shift in men being open and being vulnerable. And then what happens in a lot of cases, which makes this such a horrible double standard, is the moment they start being open and vulnerable, and you mentioned emotional regulation, emotionally intelligent, that comes with boundaries. And the problem is that once you start setting up boundaries, the same people who told you need to mature and grow up are the same people who want you to calm down, because they can't manipulate you anymore. They can't control you anymore. And what you find, and I don't want to make this about the dynamics between men and women, but what I'm seeing is that the more men are taking their lives seriously, their mental health seriously, their emotional health, their spiritual health, and the more they're getting serious on their journey to healing and positivity, the more they're getting berated by women. Whole other topic of conversation. But it's worth saying, because when we talk about trying to become a better man, you need to understand that we are all supposed to be connected, and that men inherently want a mate, right? No one wants to be alone. And so you need to be prepared for the isolation from the opposite sex in the interim, because you're going to become a different person. And so the people that you were attracted to and that were attracted to you at a stage in your life are no longer going to be attractive. Yeah. And they're not going to like you as much. And they're not going to understand why you acting so different. You act like you brand new. You're like you better than everybody else. You're just making a transition. So I need you to prepare yourself for the fact that you're going to end up by yourself for a little while. But that's a good thing, because this is where some work can happen. A lot of times we, men especially, we bury ourselves in women, in alcohol, in drugs, in gambling, in being in the street, right? A lot of that is simply because we don't want to face the things that are going to make us better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because they're difficult.
That is true. A lot of the times, especially when you endure therapy and all that stuff, when you start your healing journey, you really have to spend time with yourself and really uncover all of that work. Because, okay, for me, I'm 38 years old. If I were to get in a relationship, I'm bringing in 38 years of all the stuff that I have, plus this other person's 38 years of their stuff, and unpacking what's good, what's bad, individually and collectively, to create a whole gumbo that works best for us. And when you're doing your solo work, you have to unpack childhood trauma. You have to unpack, you know, like you said, with previous relationships, me being divorced and different things, really doing the work to see, okay, what was my part in it? Not so much, oh, well, this person did this and it, X, Y, and Z, that's why we're not together, but really understanding done so you don't repeat those same mistakes that you did again, especially coming from the divorce side. How can I move into the next situation? What did I need to learn? What did I need to keep, you know, maybe stop? Because again, it could be all about shifting who I was at 25. I'm not at 35. So it could be mindset, you know, this is not attractive to me anymore. To your point, this is not attractive to me anymore because I'm evolving. So now I have to get in a different space with different people. And that might be an issue. So you really have to do the self work. And I think, like you said, a lot of people don't want to dive into that because it's painful. We are so used to being babied and so used to, you know, what feels good. We can order food from our couches. Now we don't have to go out and do shopping or any of that. Everything is so convenient, and healing is inconvenient because you have to do the groundwork. You really have to deep dive into stuff that would be years and years back, because you would be so surprised at what this thing you're doing now, where that came from. It could stem from you being five, if you really do the work the right way. So I do love that you said that, because people really need to understand that in order to show up in spaces, you know, it's going to cause you to do stuff. It's going to cause you to be vulnerable. It's going to cause you to probably lose a lot of people. And it starts with isolation, like you just getting to know who you are and where you are right now and what you like and what you don't like. And so many times we gravitate to these titles. We get so used to, okay, well, I'm this, I'm the husband, or I'm the mom, or I'm this, or I'm that. It's just like when you go to a job interview and they ask you, tell me about yourself. A lot of people can't do that. The first thing they'll say is, oh, I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm this, I'm that. Look, tell me about you. What type of person are you? Are you driven? Are you, you know how to multitask? You know, just things about themselves. They're so caught up in the titles that they have that they don't even know who they are. And that's another reason why, you know, we get into these spaces. So I'm definitely appreciative of you for coming on and having this discussion with me. We definitely gotta have to do a part two, because this is something that needs to be talked about more than once. It's not an overnight job. It's not going to happen in 24 hours. This is consistent. And I think that's why the Bible says renew your mind daily, because it definitely takes work. And, you know, when you are creating a new habit, it takes about 21 days to start something new. So to go from something that you've been doing for years to change and shift to something new is definitely going to take more than one day, more than one podcast episode. So I do appreciate you for coming on, and I'll give you the spotlight to tell the people how they can support you and find you.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you so much again for this opportunity. Real quick, before I jump into the spotlight, I'm reminded of a saying that says, if you build it, they will come. And we have never, and I've never thought about it until just now, but we don't ever apply that to ourselves. So I want to give you guys with some encouragement. If you build yourself, we talk about separating from old things and getting rid of some old habits and old companionships. If you build it, as in yourself, the right people are going to show up. And just like in real construction, it takes time. So don't look for it to be overnight, as she was said, but make sure that you're looking to progress and to do it, because the work is going to be worth it. It's going to be valuable, and it's going to increase the quality of your life. With that being said, man, you can find me all over social media, Langley Casual Word Shazer on Facebook, The Casual Word on Instagram. You can find, I have 7 books out on Amazon. Just type my name into the search box, Langley Shazer. All the titles will come up. You can find the podcast, Casual Word Radio, anywhere that you get your podcast. We just signed on with Sheen Magazine and their Sheen TV. So we are giving them some high quality content. We're also on YouTube, The Casual Word. So there's lots of ways that you can hear more of these things. I also teach on Wednesday nights, New Life Family Worship Church. You can go to their page, or you can go to my page, and you can listen in on our Wednesday night midweek refuel if you want to get a spiritual aspect of a lot of the things that we talk about. But everything you've heard me say tonight is not anything new. It just bears repeating, and we have to continue to talk about these things until we get to a place where they're no longer topics of discussion, and that requires us to continue to work. So again, you can reach out to me. You can message me on any of the social media platforms that I am on. You can also email me at thecasualword@gmail.com, and I'm more than happy to connect. I am certainly easily accessible and often available. So if you guys want to dive into some mentor opportunities, if you want to talk about other aspects of what it means to make this evolutionary journey into a different type of man, I'm all for that. So again, guys, thank you so much for being here. Thank you all for watching. And you can find me on any of those platforms. I want to reiterate that I am available and I am more than willing to help you through whatever it is that you're going through, as long as you are willing to do the work yourself. I'm not going to be just a listening ear. I'm not going to co-sign on foolishness. And I am very serious about my time as much as your time and the quality of time that we spend together. So if you're not going to do the work, then we're going to get to an impasse and we're not going to be able to move forward. But if you're willing to do the work, I'm willing to stand beside you.
I love that, Langley. Thank you so much for coming on and being a guest on the platform. I really appreciate you.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. And I can't wait to do this again.
Absolutely. We got to definitely set it up. So you guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. And I want you to remember, as always, that you are graced and gifted for a time such as this. You have purpose in this world and you have been created to do great and amazing things. So until next episode, you guys, talk to you later.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and don't forget to leave a review. You can follow Shira on all major platforms and on YouTube at ShiraRenee510. Until next time, spread love, show grace, and shine bright.